I'm already recording, dude.
Okay, mine started.
All right.
Hi, this is Chris Goodrow, and I am coming to you today with Mr. Peter Vasquez. How you doing today, Peter?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Doing well. So we've decided to start podcasting because there's a problem in the world. There's a problem in the marketplace, and we think we might be able to smooth it out a little bit. We were talking a little bit before we pressed record here. And we talked about businesses and their advertising habits, and the results that they are getting might not be what they expected. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I definitely agree that in initial stages of getting to know their market and who their audience is, or at least an idea that it is difficulty.
Yeah. Well, from what I'm seeing, I'm flipping through magazines, I'm flipping through the newspaper and the various things that I get, and even online in the digital space, and I'm seeing a lot of businesses putting their name out there. They have their funny tagline, their cute slogans, those kinds of things, and a logo, and they run the ad, and maybe they didn't get any calls or they didn't get as many as they expected, and they continue to do this on the advice of the one that sold them the advertising, which is not their fault either. It's what they learn in school, that they should go ahead and continue to run the ad, you know, week after week, month after month, until, oh, magically one time somebody's going to see your ad for the fifth time and go, oh, now that I've seen that logo for the fifth time, I'm going to pick up the phone and give them a call now. And you know, this is the belief that's out there, and I wanted to speak to that. Are you seeing a lot of that going on?
Yes, I do see a lot of what I call wishful thinking when it comes to advertising, especially in when it comes to traditional type marketing, such as print, radio, and television. So, yes, and I definitely agree that, you know, as a business owner, whether you're an entrepreneur or a small business, you start making money, and all of a sudden you get seen by salespeople. You go to a networking event, and right away, you know, they start, you know, finding you and saying, hey, you should try this type of advertisement. Very similar to the concept of the infamous Yellow Pages. So, right. You know, I'm not trying to point fingers at any of those people who put together those Yellow Page ads. But if you have any experience in business and you have, you know, some experience in dealing with that type of advertising, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, but it's that tactic that that allows you to just go ahead and jump into it because you feel that you have to invest into it. It's just part of what you do for marketing. So I definitely agree with you that, you know, there is a mentality that's out there on how you should do certain things, not taking consideration today how, you know, knowing that we have now the internet and how a new way of people, how people communicate today and the various ways they communicate.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a lot more options going around these days as far as how you can get somebody's attention and how you can interact with them. Of course, in the days of the yellow book, the phone book, you know, this is something that everybody had. And if you wanted to find a service, that's where you went. There was no question about it. That's just not true anymore. And a lot of our listeners are going to know that already. We come to where we're at today in advertising, and maybe the phone book is emptying out. But I will say this as a side note on the phone book thing. You know, some people still have it. Some people still have it. Not many. Granted, it's not a very large market. But if you have a target market, if your audience maybe as of a older demographic or somebody that would be more likely to go to a phone book than they would for a Google search, which there's not many of them left. But if that's your demographic, the phone book is definitely someplace that's less crowded. And I'm always a big fan of going to where you can stand out and make a little bit of difference and grab somebody's attention rather than jumping into a space that's already crowded. Because let's face it, the email box these days, you know, there's, so for some of us, there's hundreds of messages in there. We don't even read them anymore. But you go to your, something like a phone book, there's only a few things there. You go to something like your mailbox, and you know, there's less in your mailbox these days. So there's definitely something to be said about going to a less crowded space. But that's, you know, that's only part of the puzzle here, right?
Oh, I agree. I mean, yeah, I do agree with what you're saying in regards to that yellow book may be less, you know, of a threat, I guess, or there may be more opportunity there. But I think that, you know, I guess personally, you know, the demographic now, you know, even the seniors are still, they're constantly trying to adapt. Some may not adapt, but still, unfortunately, you know, I'm going to be the critic and still think that that yellow book is still a doorstop, you know, on your way to out the door, you know?
Oh yeah.
I mean, personally,
I haven't used one.
And the call, but you know what it is though? But what hasn't changed, you know, I don't know if you noticed this, is that, yes, you may still have people who are advertising Yellow Book, right? And throughout the years, there's been less and less people advertising. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
But what has not changed is the pricing.
Okay.
What has gone up, if anything, it's gone up.
Right. Yeah.
That has gone up with the economy, of course, you know, but now... So basically what we're saying is that, yeah, there may be less competitors now, but it's still costing you a good penny to be able to advertise there. So more to what you were saying, but there's definitely got to find some value. And I think that that's what we're leading to here, is that, you know, how to find value in the advertising that you're actually doing right now.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what businesses are considering, right? They're looking at their bottom line. They want to put out an advertisement. They're trying to decide where they're going to place ads, how they're going to get new business in the door, whether it's a local business or whether it's an online business. And especially when they're starting out, or I mean, even businesses that have been in there for years, they don't really have a big budget, or they look at, there's so many directions to go with this, but they look at the advertising as a huge gamble. And it shouldn't be a gamble. It shouldn't be like playing a slot machine. Advertising should be more like a vending machine. You put something in the machine, it's a predictable amount, and you're going to get something predictable out of it. That's how it's supposed to operate. And unfortunately, that's not how it's being sold. And that's not how businesses are doing that. So hopefully with this podcast, I don't know if we're going to get it all done in one episode, but I want to shed some light on how to make your advertising or the listener's advertising more like a vending machine than a slot machine. We're just throwing it away. That's why the businesses claim they have no budget, right?
Because gambling.
If they spend the money, they know it's gone. In most cases, it is gone. But there are ways to minimize that. There are ways to add some predictability. It's just a matter of how you go about doing it. So, what are some methods that you use as far as maybe being a little wiser with how you spend that money?
Well, the first thing, of course, you know, knowing the difference between traditional type marketing, again, radio, print, you know, TV commercials. Yeah, you have to know the difference between your audience. So, of course, and you have the newer way to market, of course, is online, and you have to separate those two. But just like the internet today and the various mediums we have and the different types of ways to communicate with people, even with print, one of the things that I feel, when you go either way, is that you need to have a way to track the results of your advertising dollars. So,
right.
And what I mean by that is that just like you have the benefit of advertising online, okay, whether it be pay-per-click advertising, social media, whether it be a website, thank God for inventions such as Google Analytics, which is a way to track results of all the information going to your website. Okay, all that information, very similar to traditional type marketing, you have to have a way to measure in some way or another the value of that investment. I would say, for example, and to be able to differentiate the two, let's say you have a Yellow Page ad. You have a Yellow Page ad and you put an ad up there. Instead of putting the number, your regular office number or your office name and the location, right? Maybe try a different phone number that you can track how many phone calls came in to that particular phone number. Okay. Again, you want to track how many calls came in order to determine the value. If it's a radio commercial, maybe give out a coupon code. And when someone calls into that number, they give you the coupon code that they that was mentioned in the radio. Or various ways that, some creative ways that you could possibly think of that will allow you to track, okay, those advertising dollars. And I think that, that's the biggest issue that advertisers, whether it's online or in traditional type media, fail to realize. Everything today is about tracking. Everything today is about data.
Right.
There's so much data out there, you got to make an executive decision on whether that's good for you or not.
Exactly. I mean, you have to know how well you did. Some of the people that are advertising, they don't even know if it did them any good or not. And some of them do. You know, they think they think a little bit beyond that brick wall, and they think you know, what they're going to do is put out a coupon. I think that's one of the oldest ways to go about tracking is to put out some kind of coupon, and that way the customer's got to bring that in. And you can, at the end of the day, count up how many coupons you got for that day and see if it worked out for you. You can balance that against, you know, what else did the customer spend in your store and how much did your advertising cost, and try to get a return on investment that way. But I want to take it a little bit beyond that. And, you know, I'm thankful that we're in the age that we are in now and we have the internet to help us with that tracking, because what we can do is we can take some of this traditional media and we could kind of blend it over into the online stuff simply by having an advertisement that directs the user to something online. And we can implement something like Google Analytics to track where they came from. Whether people are coming on their cell phones, or they're getting on their computers at home and going to it. But I think there's one big advantage of taking the game online rather than using a coupon, and that is when you use a coupon or a call-in code or something like that, you're making the sale in the ad, and you're giving them the offer. You tell them what you want them to buy, and you want them to come in and redeem that offer, and then that's it. You know, they can see that ad and say yes or no to your service, or yes or no to that one particular offer, without knowing the rest of what you have. And you never know. You never know who saw the ad. You never know who may have been interested. You don't know who would have been interested later, you know, or at a different time. All you know is who actually purchased and who didn't. So it's selling right from the ad. And I think there's a better way. I think by generating what we call a lead, somebody who you're not necessarily selling to yet, but you've gotten them to raise their hand. You've gotten your target market to kind of identify themselves and give you a way to contact them. That way, you can turn around and make your offer. If that offer doesn't work, you can make some adjustments. You can get some feedback. You could maybe ask them why the offer didn't work, or you could come back with other offers. You could do all kinds of things, and you can't do that without capturing the lead first before you make an offer. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It pretty much reminds me of, I guess, today's day, and I'm sure you've seen this happen. I'm sure there's people out there who have invested in pay-per-click advertising. Right. And one of the things that I've seen a lot is that they finally decide that they want to invest in the new way of advertising today, and they've exhausted all types of, you know, online advertising, so to speak, and they feel they want to invest some dollars into pay-per-click advertising. So they go through the process with Google AdWords and everything, they create their ad and everything, and they finally see it on the right-hand side of sponsored pages in Google results, for example. And when they create the ad, they link the ad to their homepage of their website. And to me, that baffles me. Why? Because if they don't know this or not, but the cost of your ad is determined by how relevant your ad is to the landing page of where that ad is going to. So, you know, if it's not relevant, that could determine whether it's $1 per click or $2 per click. But many people decided they want to take that link to their homepage, which is nowhere near relevant, you know?
Right.
So, you know, they go to their homepage and other website, and if they have to update their website, there's no form there to fill out. At the end of the day, you know, if you got them to read that ad and they clicked on, they charged you whatever to for them to read that ad and click on it, then the page that they're going to should be very, very relevant to that ad you're placing.
Absolutely, yeah.
And many people forget that.
Yeah, yeah. It should be something that is that's specifically designed for that ad and just looks like an explanation of what that ad was. It's the next logical step in what we would call a sales funnel.
Exactly.
So someone would you get somebody's attention with the ad. You have the offer there. They want to claim the offer. They take that action. They go online, or if it was already online, they click that link. And you take them to a page. That page better talk about that offer that you made and tell them clearly how to go ahead and get it. And they need to go ahead and take away all of the other distractions. There can't be a menu and a whole website behind it. There can't be social media links and all this other stuff. It's got to be clean, clear, focused, with a single call to action. What do you want the customer to do? And in the sense that I was just talking about, you're generating a lead. You want them to give their contact details in some way, shape, or form, whether that's an email or a phone number, whatever it is, so that they can go ahead and get the offer. And that leaves the business in a good position to continue marketing to that person without having to pay for the advertisement again, right?
Right. Exactly. One of the things that I want to add to that, and maybe an easier way that, you know, anybody listening to this podcast would, you know, who's familiar with what we're talking about here, is that you only have a few words. If you're advertising online or even in print, you only have words standing in between you and a potential sale. So within those very little words and very little time, okay, which I hear it's about 8 seconds now a day for people to get to your website or to actually pick up pick up the phone and call you. So you have even less than that nowadays for them to decide they want to make that move. And what it requires today is for you, it's a very key word. You have to build trust. Okay. The days of instant gratification are gone. So easy way to look at it is that within that very little time, that little time frame that you have, you have to build that trust. So how do you build that trust in so little time with what you're presenting them? You got them, you spent all that money to get them there. So within that landing page or whatever you want to call it, how do you build that trust to get them to actually pick up the phone and call you or complete that online form that's in front of them? Trust is a key word.
Right, right. And there's got to be at least some level of trust throughout the whole process. And especially when it comes down to the sale at the end, and depending on your product, depending on your business or your service, you may need to build a different level of trust. Now, for example, you see an advertisement for a roofer, right? Now, a roof, you might need a new roof on your house, but you're not quite ready. You see an ad for a roofer there, but you're in the beginning of stages. You know, you don't know anything about that roofer. You don't know if they're licensed, insured. You don't know if they have good references. You don't know how they go about their business as opposed to, you know, the other 10 roofers and the other ads that you saw already. You're in a stage where you're gathering information, right? So put out something that would get that prospect, someone who's looking to get their roof done, and they're interested to kind of identify themselves, raise their hand, that they will take an action. They will give you their email address or their phone number or whatever it is that you require from them in order to get something. In my opinion, it 9 times out of 10 should be a free offer. Okay, you make a free offer to them to maybe learn a little bit more about the process of choosing a roofing contractor, or just something that relates to them and would identify them as somebody who's kind of shopping or maybe interested in a new roof at some point. But you don't try to sell them at that point. And this is why your name and your logo and all that stuff in the ad is really, at this point, almost irrelevant. I mean, you can have it there if you need, but that's not what's going to sell them. That's not what's going to cause them to react. The offer that you make is what's going to cause them to react. So you go ahead, they take action, they give you their contact details so they can receive this information that you're providing. And meanwhile, that information, what it does is it educates that prospect, right? It teaches them about your business, or it teaches them about, how to choose the right one. And hopefully that's you. You know, the techniques that we're going to discuss here on this podcast now and in the future, it only works if you run a good business. It only works if you have an ethical business, if you are selling something that is the best in your industry, or you strive to be the best in your industry, and or at least in your service area. It's not going to work if you sell garbage. You know, nothing works these days if you sell garbage. You'll be found out real quick.
What a lot of businesses still consider to doing, and what they feel that no matter whether it's online or whether it's, you know, traditional advertising, is that they're constantly selling, sell.
Yeah.
And today, of course, with the internet, you have even more options now, you know, on who to select, because information is easily accessible now. So you have lots of options and you have lots of people doing the same thing. But what differentiates you between, you know, company roofer A and roofer B? And again, like I said before, it's about building that trust. In order to build trust, you have to be a resource to that particular customer. Why? Again, because instant gratification, buying right there and then, them picking up the phone and calling you as soon as they see your first ad, that's not going to happen. So within your advertising, your landing page, or when they call you finally, you got to build that trust factor in there, you know, and they may not, you know, go with you right there and then, and they might call you back later on. They might visit your website later on. But between that process, you have to consistently build that trust factor by being a resource for them, you know, and get rid of the sales tactic, because that doesn't work today, you know, because no one's going to buy from you. And guess what? You're like everybody else who still has that mentality. So I guess the question is, you know, can you be a resource to your potential customer? And if you are, then you're building that trust factor, because eventually they're going to think of you, right, in the future when the time comes when they are ready to make the decision. I think we call it long tail marketing.
Yeah. And that's a good point. Being a resource can be done in many ways. You could do that. You've probably heard by now, you know, writing consistent blog posts on your website. You could put out a podcast like we're trying to do right now. You can do it in a lot of ways. You can do it through continuous email contact with customers. You can do it through social media. There's lots of ways to do it. I think one of the smartest things you can do is you can do both. You can put information out there like you would with a blog, but the idea is to get them in a situation where they're going to hand over their contact details to you in order for you to, strengthen that bond a little bit more and to be able to give them a little bit more. You know, that way, when it comes time to make a sale or make an offer or any of that, you have a way to get feedback, you have a way to follow up, and all those kinds of things. So I think that's money well spent. If you're going to spend it on advertising and you want to see a return and you want the best return on your investment, it's best to capture those leads now and sell to them later. Would you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah, I definitely think that, you know, like we talked about before, it's about starting off with tracking, you know, your investment. And then once you get them there, you know, how do you get them to keep on coming back? And that is to, again, be a resource to your potential customer, you know, for them to be able to trust you, to leave you their information, again, per the lead generation process, you know, and there are several types of buyers out there, which I'm sure is going to be left for a future podcast, but you have to know your buyers too. Who are your potential buyers? And there are four different types of buyer types out there that you have to be able to acquaint yourself with, to be able to know how to communicate with them. But I think that, you know, if you, again, focusing on, you know, earning that trust factor and being that resource and get rid of that sales mentality, that I think that many businesses will be successful, again, whether it's online or on print. How do you build that trust?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I would add to that, it's a lot easier to build the trust in a relationship if, you know, you have a way to continue to follow up with somebody. Because in this day, there are so many distractions, and, you know, with the best intentions in the world, a customer might be wanting to come back to your content. They might be, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to come back to this webpage. I'm going to read every blog article they have, or I can't wait till they come out with their next blog article, whatever it is that you produce. But, you know, out of sight, out of mind. You know, the consumer's got a million things going on, and you might not sell something that's very interesting. You know, you do a roofing thing that would interest them for a short time until their roof's done. But, you know, maybe there are ways to continue to provide information and be a resource to homeowners, you know, who have friends that are homeowners, or who might, you know, 10 years down the track, want to buy another home or an investment home or whatever. I mean, there's more than just that short buying cycle. There's some long-term benefits to be had, again, depending on your product or service. But I think a way to follow up and deliver the information and to be a resource on your own terms is what's really key in the whole equation, rather than just sending it out into the universe. I would say that part, sending it out into the universe, is kind of the same as advertising, right? Right. That's a way for people to enter your funnel, and then you want a way to then capture their information and continue to be an even better resource for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So, yeah, I think we have a good direction for what we want to talk about here in helping the business owner. It could be a small business owner, entrepreneur, who's looking to get more out of advertising, looking to get more out of their marketing efforts, and they want to maximize the investment that they get. We'll be able to go into some of these things in detail in future podcasts, I believe, and we'll talk about the elements of a good direct response ad. We're going to have to talk about what a direct response advertisement is, and how to go ahead and implement that in various different industries. I think some examples are in order. Services and products and those kinds of things, online businesses, offline businesses. There's really a lot to get the specifics out and to apply it. People don't have the same imagination as you hope they would to be able to apply it to their own business. So we'll try to stick some examples in there.
I agree. I definitely agree. I think that there's a lot to learn, and we're going to be here to be able to take them step by step, you know, knowing who their buyers are, you know, how to select the right audience, how to target that audience, what is the best method to communicate to that audience, you know, what the do's and don'ts, what works, what doesn't work. You know, measuring is very, very important. That's one of the things that many people fail to realize, that when it comes to a digital age, one of the best things you have today is that you have data. Whereas before, you didn't have data to support your decisions. Right. Now you have all the data in the world, thanks, for example, to either Google Analytics or social media. Yeah, Facebook. You have all kinds of different measuring tools out there that allow you to make decisions that are validated based on analytics. So use that information, you know, to be able to help you make those educated decisions in your business. And if you don't know how to read it or understand those analytics, hey, contact one of us or let us know if there's any information or any types of podcasts you want to know in the future that we can discuss to help you along that path and educate you on the things you should be looking out for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We want to hear back from the audience in the comments once we get that set up. And certainly ask questions and things you want us to go in detail about as far as advertising, as far as sales funnels, as far as email marketing. We'll go over all of it. And all of it has to do with advertising and marketing in some fashion. It's all related now. You can't separate it out. So the technical side of things we might dive into a little bit. But what I think we want to leave here with today is just the fact that advertising might not be and probably isn't what you thought it was. You know, when I hear things like advertising doesn't work, or advertising doesn't work for my business, or I tried that and it didn't work, 9 times out of 10, it's not really the magazine or the newspaper or the medium that you chose. It's none of those things. It's not whether or not your business can benefit from advertising, because likely it can. And there, if you just change how you approach it and what you want to accomplish with your ads, you can see a huge benefit and a huge return on investment almost immediately and definitely in the future.
That's right. Yep. It's just a matter. And that one thing that you can't do is be afraid of investing into your company. So you have to spend money to, or invest the time today. One or the other. You know, it's not about, you know, spending the money like it used to be, you know, before you see any kind of return. But at the minimum, you have to invest the time now. But the question is, after you invest the time, well, how do I do it if I want to invest the time? Well, that's what we're here for. We're going to help you to make sure you invest your time properly, effectively, and efficiently to get the maximum results.
Yep, that's right. So stay tuned for the next one, and thanks for listening.
Thank you.